tell somebody that's not here that they're really missing a blessing on Wednesday nights. We need them here. Invite them. Just ask them if they'll come and encourage them to come. But you know, you're here tonight. I'm encouraged. I hope you're encouraged tonight. We're going to begin a brand new series starting tonight. Could anybody use a little bit of kindness in their life? Could anybody use a little kindness in their heart? See, that's a totally different question, isn't it? We want kindness, but we also want, we need to have kindness inside of us, in our hearts. And so we're going to have about a three-week series looking into the scriptures on kindness. And if you're wondering what the whole big black mark is on your paper, it's because I didn't get a chance to retype something. But there, just above that black spot, you see that I've put the words commitment to kindness by pastor in this series. My commitment in this series is that if you're here, you're going to have an opportunity to receive something free in kindness. We're going to give some things away each week. And they will have purpose to the series. They're not just tokens and gifts, but they're given to help you remember what we're talking about. It's an act of kindness, but there's a reason, and you'll see what these are. And what I did was I started telling you what those items were going to be, but I decided I'll just have a few surprises and see if you might not come back and stay with me for the whole series. So, we have some things tonight. I have some things with me tonight, and I had someone help me already. Your name is somewhere in this altar. Oh, that ought to preach. Your name. Take a look at those little pieces of paper. That's everybody represented in the house of God at the altar. What a beautiful picture. But your name's here. Yep. The only names that are not on the paper, and I'm not leaving them out, I have a little something special I can do for the young kids tonight as well. And we have all the adults that are in this room represented in the altar, and we're going to use those in just a few minutes. And we'll draw, if your name's drawn, we have some things, and hopefully there's something that you can go home with, each and every one of us, but we'll see. Now that I've got you interested to know what in the world has he got? Well, I don't have anything as good as what God's got. I can promise you that. Just his word alone ought to be worth staying in the Bible study for. So I hope you enjoy it. But I attended the prayer conference this last week, two nights, over in Bartonville, and one of the messages, this word kindness, really come alive in my spirit. Wasn't necessarily preaching on kindness, but you know how when you're in a service and the Lord just kind of knows right where you're at and he can take whatever's being preached and you brush across a scripture verse and he'll just say, that one's for you right there. And you just kind of, it just kind of sits there. See, sometimes as a pastor, what God wants me to do is just set you up to find the verse that you've been looking for. Because I might be preaching the way God gave it to me to preach, but he's so good that he can get you right next to another verse that you really need, and you found it because the message went there. And then God says, but this one's for you personally. And that ever happened to anybody? Am I the only one that's ever happened to? Am I by myself? Well, I hope not. I just know God's that good. He can be ministering so many different ways at the same time. Title of this series, Talking Kindly Will Help You Walk in the Spirit of Kindness. Talking kindly will help you walk in the spirit of kindness. You have to start somewhere. And how many of you are blessed to have a mouth? Everybody know where the mouth is? Carly is learning. She's not in here right now, but Carly is learning. If you ask her where her nose is, she's learning how to find her nose. And then we'll be able to keep working on the other things. And before long, she'll know where her tongue is. Because they all like it when they're little. They like to, you know, get them to stick their tongue out. And where's your tongue? Where's your tongue? But so we've all been blessed with the mouth, right? Inside the mouth is one of the strongest instruments of your entire body, the tongue. Who can tell me what the Bible says about the tongue? You don't have to quote the verse, but you can kind of paraphrase it. Or if you know it by memory, go ahead and tell it to me. You'll find it in the book of James. Life and death in the power of your tongue. Do you believe that it's that strong? You should, because the Bible says it's that strong. It also teaches us in the scriptures that no man can tame the tongue. I don't care how hard you try to tame your tongue from saying, anything wrong, there's going to be times that your tongue will slip out on you because you can't tame it, but God can. So the more that you get into the Word of God, you can actually let the Spirit of God get a hold of your tongue. And we want to do that. We want to talk differently than the world. The world has their own vocabulary. The world has their own way of talking to people. And can I just tell you, for the most part, the world is not nice in what they say. They're just not nice. Because they're just giving in to whatever the tongue wants to say, because they've learned they can't tame it anyway. So just let it fly. But when they come in contact with a God, the God we serve, when they come in contact with a Savior, he can get a hold. Go ahead, Brother Ron.
We're speaking about the organs, about the mouth, and one of my favorite scriptures is Matthew 12:30.
Okay.
Matthew 12:34. For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart.
Read it again, please.
For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart.
So you have a storage compartment inside of you where the words are going to come rolling out from. So that's a good question tonight, is what's being stored on the inside of you? Because if you hang around with somebody long enough, you'll find out what's on the inside, because it's going to come out. And so, now, please, in this series, understand that we're all flawed in this. Every one of us have a growing place where God can help us to be kind. Kindness is not going to come in our spirit until we start to line up our talking in the place of kindness. And you know who trains you to talk kindly? Jesus, through his own word. The Bible is where you learn how to talk different than the world. So what I want to do is I want to set this up a little bit. Proverbs 25 verse 11 is a very personal verse to me. Sometime in my young upbringing, God really brought an interest to my life about words. It started as early as the third grade for me. I had a wonderful teacher, Mrs. Mendenhall. Would probably go down in history as my favorite teacher, because she turned on something on the inside of me that's continued to stay with me, and God knew that. But I have been somebody that has enjoyed poetry, writing, rhymes, and there's a lot of things I do with words. I was not designed in the same way that both of my granddads nor my dad in this one area. You could put a tool in their hand, and I really believe that if they had time, they could do just about anything with tools. Hammers, screwdrivers, wrenches. I've watched them take cars apart. I've watched them build sheds, barns, houses, those kinds of things. But what he did give me was the same kind of a heart as a carpenter who wants to get down and finish things correctly. To me, this is a picture, and if you know me, sometimes I share picture thoughts with you, because God really works with me in those areas. But just imagine all of us holding a hammer right now, but we're not going to hit nails. We're going to take a word like kindness, and it's going to be sitting right out there in the air. And what I want you to understand is when you swing into that word and you get all the pieces out of that, that's where the meaning and the depth of the word comes in. So one of the ways that God uses poetry in my life is I'll take a word that God gives me to study, and I'll dissect that word all the way down to as many pieces as fits into that word as I can find. And what that does is that teaches me more about what it is. I can say kindness all day to you, but now I'm going to give you some other words to think about that you might not have thought about that go with kindness. The word love is kindness. The word mercy is kindness. Pity comes out of kindness. The one that you will know from Scripture is compassion. Compassion is the kindness of Christ coming out, moved with compassion. How many times does the Scripture talk about compassion? One place that I was reading said that kindness may be known, connected to the word beauty. But see, this beauty isn't like what you and I think of, like that car is beautiful, that house is beautiful. Boy, somebody really did a nice job with the flowers and the gardens in that yard. What a beautiful thing. We understand beautiful that way. But a way in Scripture to understand beautiful is, how many know the Scripture? How beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news, carry the gospel, and preach the word. So what is beautiful is faithfulness. That's what that Scripture is talking about. Faithfulness. All of these things wrap up inside of kindness. But you won't get to this until you smash through that word, lay it all out. And this is a good way for you to seek God. When you're having an issue and maybe the pastor or a teacher or a guest speaker is talking about a certain word, when you're praying, ask God to break that word down and just reveal it in your spirit. He will. So now let's look. I've given you the text. These two verses set up the text of the whole series about talking kindly will help you walk in the spirit of kindness. The first one is Proverbs 25:11. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Now, you might run across that verse and it might not have done that much for you yet, but I believe with this Bible series, it can. But for someone like me, who God is really, someone once asked me, what do you really collect? And you know, a lot of people collect different things. And I didn't really have an answer, but when I got to looking around at the things that piled up around me, is I got boxes full of poems. I got boxes full of little one-liner sayings, slogans, different things like that, inspirational thoughts. You can talk to my wife. She pulls those things out of my pockets every time she does the laundry. And I just have a dresser full of notes and things, and it's words. I guess one of the things that I would be a collector of is words in one form or another. So let's look at Proverbs 25:11. It says, a word, fitly spoken. We're going to break this down. A word fitly spoken. Anybody ever do jigsaw puzzles? Have you ever really tried to force one of the pieces in? It looks like it could fit there. I mean, it's almost to the edge, and you thumb it down, but it pops up. Well, you understand fitly. You know, there are some words that you can say to people that sound real good, but it might not really fit what they need to hear, or what God would have you to say to them, I mean, at that moment. So there's some praying we need to do. A word fitly spoken is going to come out of somebody's mouth. And I don't know about you, but words that are fitly spoken, how many of you enjoy it when somebody says thank you for something that you've done? How many of you enjoy hearing a fitly spoken word that says, you know, I'm sorry? And if it's really fitly spoken, then it's going to line up and the heart's going to be there. How many of you like the word free? Anybody like to hear the word free? You get in line for something that's free, and you hear that word free. That could be fitly spoken. But you understand, how many of you can testify that somebody has said some unfitly words in your life? You hear it all the time with, and I don't want to give teachers a bad reputation, but sometimes teachers are one of those influences on children's lives that tell them, we had this happen in our family, actually, one of our children. They went to class, and I forget exactly what class, and that might be able to tell you. But the teacher in that class, everybody failed a test. Everybody, the whole class failed it. So for punishment, the teacher made them go home and write something similar. Now, this won't be exactly right, but for emphasis, I'll tell you. Basically, what they were supposed to write like 100 times was, "I'm a dummy." And we went to the school over that, didn't we? And we had to go in and talk to a teacher. And they did it because they were angry that nobody studied for that test and every student failed. So they got angry and they used unfitly words. Now, can you imagine the damage that you can do to somebody by having them say that about themselves over and over and over again? And then there's some parents that I have heard of and known that constantly call their kids brats, no good, and things like that. We need to be careful. And remember, now we're all flawless in this. We've all said some things that we shouldn't have said. And we're all in this together, so we're going to grow together. Can we grow? Can we grow together? Word fitly spoken, that's what Proverbs 25:11 is starting off. I looked at this next phrase in, it says a word fitly spoken is like apples. Okay, let's just go that far. Now, I brought something with me tonight because apples are very healthy. And I'm going to give you 10 things of health benefits if you just eat apples. And so I believe that in being poetic in describing Proverbs 25:11, the way that it's written out, it's very precious to be considered your words like apples, because what you're doing is you're giving somebody health when you speak that way. And not only that, but the next word emphasizes a very strong, precious thing, and that word will be golden. We'll talk about that in a minute. 10 health benefits of apples. I'll give reference. This was found off of the internet, healthdiaries.com. If you're interested, healthdiaries.com. They put 10 health benefits of apples. Number one is bone protein. Number two is helps asthma. Number three, it helps prevent Alzheimer's. The next one is it lowers cholesterol. It says the pectin in apples lowers the LDL, which is the bad cholesterol. That's in apples. It says people who eat 2 apples per day may lower their cholesterol by as much as 16 points. So the next one is lung cancer prevention. Apples can help you not develop lung cancer. It also is something that will help prevent breast cancer. There are several cancer blocks here. Another one is colon cancer and liver cancer. Diabetes management. It says the pectin in apples supplies it's a longer word than glaucomic, but it's around that. The acid to the body, which lowers the body's need for insulin and may help in the management of diabetes and weight loss. Says a Brazilian study found that women who ate 3 apples or pears per day lost more weight while dieting than women who did not eat fruit while dieting. So apples are a good diet food. So I gave you 10 health benefits to something that God put in the garden from the very beginning, an apple tree. You can get into the various different apples, but this part of it didn't. I read another article, and any apple you eat is going to give you these 10, but some of the other apples can do more or less for you. So if you research, I got you started. Do the research. Makes you want to go have an apple. Okay, a word fitly spoken, think of jigsaw puzzles, you need to put them together correctly, is like apples. When you think of apples, I want you to think of the health benefits, because that's exactly what this is talking about. It's going to be healthy to someone else. Melody?
Is that the same thing as keeping the doctor away?
An apple a day. I thought about that when they said.
Not only is it going to be that, but you're jump-starting me, but you know what? I'm just the kind of guy that'll let you take me off course for a minute, and I'll just jump right in. Yes, not only does an apple keep a doctor a day, but how many of you know the pick? What did I say? A doctor a day keeps an apple away? Have a doctor a day and keep an apple away. No.
I thought it was the other way around.
You're correct. Thank you. Say it three times fast and I'll believe you. One. Two. Okay. Boy, those are some good ones. Anybody ever hear either of those? Boy, yeah. Okay, now I want to ask you another question. We're talking about kindness, okay? We're getting our mouths healthy. You know, we're going to get our mouths healthy. Anybody remember the days when you took a real shiny apple to your teacher at school? Why? What were you doing? You're being kind. So, we're going to talk about gold now. Words fitly spoken is like apples. Yeah, you can turn the tape back on now. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold. Do you understand that gold is still one of the most precious metals today? Gold. And the Bible tells us heaven has streets of gold. Doesn't tell you how thick the gold is, but it's going to be beautiful. And someone told me, this is not my saying, but I heard somebody say, if you want to know how rich heaven is, God uses gold for paving his roads. And that's just what we walk on. And so that's a beautiful thought. But take this to heart tonight. One scripture verse, Proverbs 25:11, can transform what you do with your language and how you talk to people. Pray about getting your words fitly spoken, and then it's going to be like apples, the health benefits of the apples, of gold. Gold lasts. Gold is something that has endurance in it, and it's pure. It's also pliable. Gold's soft, actually. And so think about the elements of gold, and what you're doing is when you give somebody those words that really fit right into their spirit the way Jesus did, it bends and it shapes and it starts. You know what else they use gold for? They do this gold plating. They take anything that really they want some value to it and they wrap gold around it. So on the inside of you and me, if you want to be golden in the Lord and begin to let words, it's not just the scientists. It's not just the professors. But think about the power, just like Brother Rob said the verse, the power of life and death is in the tongue. Your everyday language has the ability to put gold in somebody's heart. And yours. Isn't that beautiful? And then the rest of that says, because see, I've underlined some of the emphasis I want you to think about. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. You can think about a pitcher that you would carry something to drink or whatever, store something in. You could even put a picture on the wall, something that is to remember, and things like that. So a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. You ever heard the expression, since we're doing expressions in terms, the silver lining? You ever seen gold and silver together? They do go together. You can line things in silver. And so the lining about all of this, I mean, this is just a beautiful example of what your words can actually do. This speaks about what God, in one little verse, it doesn't even take that long to memorize this one. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Now let's look at the second verse. And tonight we're not going very far. I'm setting it up. You can see lesson one, lesson two, and lesson three. We are going to take a look at some verses, but I want to look at Luke 6:35 as the next text verse. And you can look it up in your Bible if you'd like, but I've given you the verse. Now, we're talking about kindness, and kindness starts by talking kindly. Will help you to walk in the spirit of kindness, knowing that your tongue is not ruled by you, but you have to submit it to the Lord. You can learn to properly talk, and then as you grow in the Lord, He will help you walk, which is an expression of daily. Don't do this one time and check it off your list and say, I did that, been there, bought the t-shirt, returned it, and got my money back. Just keep doing it over and over. Walk in this. Luke 6:35 says, but love ye your enemies. Translation, if you took your hammer out and smashed down, you can replace that word without taking anything away, and you could say, but be kind to your enemies. Be merciful to your enemies. Have pity on your enemies. Have a covenant kind of love towards your enemies. Move in compassion towards your enemies, because then the rest of the verse tells you what to do. Do good and lend. Lend. Lend a helping hand. Lend your time. Lend. Brother Dave, you and Sister Janet can probably testify you've been lending several hours week after week. And I'm not saying that your mother-in-law is your enemy, so don't read that in there. I'm just talking about the lending part right now. And anybody that serves the Lord, service-wise, those that work downstairs in the office, those that have been, you know what, you lended your talent, your ability, your love for God during the Christmas program, and I am so thankful. I really believe, I still am talking about that. Christmas program this year. I believe it's the best one we've done so far yet as a church. It was great. But we lended our time and our hearts into that, hoping for nothing again. I'm going to tell you, this is your challenge and my challenge. When the Bible says, love your enemies, be kind to enemies and do good, lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. Now, when God says something's going to be great, I'm just going to have enough faith to believe that it's so great, I can't even imagine what my rewards are going to be or what yours are going to be. And you get rewarded for loving your enemies and being kind. Kindness is not saying you agree with whatever they did to become your enemy. Kindness is not saying you are supportive of the lifestyle that they may be living as an enemy, but you can still be kind to those that do you the worst. If they need a drink of water, give them a drink of water. If you know they're going hungry and they need a piece of bread, give them a piece of bread. Just be kind. The scripture doesn't say be convinced of how they're living and be like them. It just says be kind to them. And great your reward shall be. And not only that, but you get to be recognized by God as His children. It says, and ye shall be the children of the highest. If you ever wanted to be somebody that rose to full potential in your life. You may never own a business. You may never own and have in the bank $1 million. You may not be a famous designer of clothing. You might not have the best talented voice that will get you star power in the worldly sense. You might not be the most looking for a word that's going to slip me, but the architects, the drawings and the detail that goes into those types of things. Designer. But if you and I will just be kind, then we get to be known as the children of the highest, and you are at your peak in the things of God's kingdom. It says, for this is, I want you to see what I saw, because, you know, I've been one of those in times past that when somebody starts preaching to me about being kind to my enemies, it's usually about the time somebody's been an enemy to me. And I'm not ready to hear, be kind to them. I want somebody to stand up and say, like the law used to say, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus was the one who's changed the place of kindness because he brought these words to us. And then I noticed something. The underlining of that word, of that scripture, listen. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. You mean God is kind to unthankful and ungrateful and evil people? Yes, he's kind to them. Did you know that was in your Bible? Because it took me getting into this series to really understand. I knew Jesus had compassion, but my Bible says he is kind unto the unthankful. How fast are you and I able to run away from somebody that's unthankful and we will not show them kindness? We're going to get away from them. Remember, we're all flawed in this, so we're growing. This is a growing series. Don't be mad when God starts dealing with us about kindness, because he talked about it and he was the example of kindness. So we're one of the things that my prayer for this church is that we not only become a loving church, but we become a church that excels in the spirit of kindness to strangers, to people in our church, to families connected to our church, and on through. This is something that God's just dropped into my spirit brand new, fresh, and I'm sharing is what I'm doing. I'm sharing this with you and trust that God will help you go in and study some of these things. So I'm ready tonight. I'm going to give some things away. Aubrielle, are you sleeping? Can you help Papa?
Pastor, can I make a comment or two?
Yeah, go ahead.
The scripture in Proverbs, several years ago when I started the business, I named it Apples of Gold because of the impact. And the image that always has come to me, pictures, apples of gold in pictures of silver, is literally a background of silver with a tree growing in the gold with the golden apples. That just, there's a rich royalty in that.
Yeah.
If we could just grab hold of the imagery, it's just powerful. The other thing was when you were talking about cliches that we use and you were talking about children. Several years ago, kids were young, how often have we heard an expression of the terrible twos?
Yes.
Oh, they're in the terrible twos. And I correct young parents today. And I said, no, don't tell them they're terrible. It's the terrific twos. They're exploring. They're testing everything out and checking out. It's just their mind. So
right.
Substitute terrific instead. Our yep. kids need encouragement even at 2 years old.
And scripture tells us that when you do speak, you ought to speak to edify, build up, encourage. And so terrible twos is speaking a curse over somebody. And it works because every generation you've seen that same thing happening. What would happen if a whole generation started saying terrific twos? The next generation of 2-year-olds people would totally be amazed what the 2-year-olds could do if the whole generation would just switch and do that. I mean, that's the power of the words, life and death, and the power of our tongue totally changes. Aubrey, can you help me? Are you awake? You want to draw some names for me? I've got something for you for helping me if you help me. I'm going to give some of these away first to the kids. We just have 2 here tonight. We have Brady, 3. Aubrielle and Carly can share. What these are is they're Fisher-Price, but they're little flashcards that teach them one word at a time. So this is about words. So Herman, would you come up and get one of these so Brady can have one of these when he gets ready to start reading? We want to give that to him.
Thank you.
And then Aubrielle, Papa's got that one for you. And maybe I'll just ask someone else, I think, to help me do some name drawings up here. I've got some things to give away, so somebody want to help me just randomly draw some names? Do you want to help me? Can you do? Okay, come on, somebody. Come on, Brother Ron. Just pick a name. You got to pick one of the papers. And then if that's your name, let's see who I got here. Juana, so we're going to the back row. Well, I'll just get them out here so you can see what we got to choose from. These are Bible word finds. Notice everything's going to go with the theme tonight, so you can pick you out one of the word finds. And I also have apples. So you can also choose between an apple if you would like an apple. Yeah. Okay. You gotta help me, Brother Ron. You can open up the apples for me too. He's lending his time right now. Notice her shirt, Packers. Green apples. Okay, give us another name. I'm going to have to go a little bit quicker because I still want to get a couple more scripture verses in. See who's next. It is the back row. It's Herman. God is honoring the back row tonight. Praise the Lord. I used to be a pitcher on a baseball team, so if you want an apple, I might be able to throw one back there to you. You're welcome. Brother Ron, give me another name. Ron Fink. No, you can draw your own name. You just got to pick what you want now. Boy, the apples are hit. We're going to get healthy in the church. Well, I can't take no credit for that. Grocery store did that. Another name. Yep, keep going. You're doing such a fantastic job. If you guys want to cheer him on, you just go ahead and help him out. Betty Claycomb. Back row. Come on down. No, the next word that's right. Ah. There's somebody that likes to do some puzzle books. Okay, another name, please. Brianne is missing.
She's downstairs, I think.
Okay. Well, she can get something later. Another name. Let me throw out a couple scripture verses while we're doing this and get some people looking up a couple verses for me. Someone find Proverbs 19:22 and we'll just do the first two, Romans 2:4. So Proverbs 19:22 and Romans 2:4, and we'll get those ready in just a minute. Robin, it's your turn, Robin. Okay, we'll take another one. Brother David.
Red apple.
Hey, Brother Chuck, you can put on just a little bit of music if you want to while we're doing this, something a little light. Yep, we're going to keep going until everything's gone. Huh? She got the cards. And Chuck, then after you're done doing that, you can come down because your name got picked.
Hey, Chuck, what do you want? I'll meet you halfway.
Red apple. Sister Mildred, got your name. You got some relief up here, Brother Ron. Got another helper. So you come on, Sister Mildred. She likes red apple. And she wore red tonight, so she matches. Sister Lucille, it's going to be a toss-up for you because I know you like to do word books. And you probably enjoy apples, too. And Sister Loretta, we didn't forget about you. A green apple. It's a good song while we're doing this, listening to the song. He's so good. God's so good. He's an awesome God. He even loves me because my name's in here. No, but I'm going to save myself for last because I want to make sure someone, I don't run out. So give me another name. But thank you for putting my name in there. Brother Rob. I'm not sure if I want him to get an apple. I've heard what he does with them. Shannon, are you ready? Freezing. Sister Faith. I know who she's related to. Melody, you've been very patient. I'm going to brag on her a little bit. She went to prayer conference with us, and she took all of our trash off of the table where we were eating afterwards, and she threw it away for us. And she was showing some kindness to us. My wife. Okay, what do we got left? A couple people? Three? Glenda. The green? Tiffany. It's so good for you to come with us tonight. A green apple. Yeah. Come on, Aubrey. You can have an apple. You like apples. Get one out there. Thank you, Brother Ron. How'd that make you feel tonight? I see more smiles. Kindness. I mean, it's something that we can do, pretty simple. I mean, it's not hard to give an apple away and something like that. But I want it to be more than just acts of kindness. And we need to really, let's look at a couple of scripture verses, because this is our training. Just keep remembering that we're all flawless in this area, but we're going to grow. And I love that picture that Sister Lucille gave to us about the apple tree actually growing in the picture. And that would be good. So did somebody get that one looked up for me? Proverbs 19:22. Tiffany had it too, so go ahead.
The desire of man is his kindness, and all men is better than life.
The desire of a man is kindness. That should be something, because God wants that to be in us, kindness. So that's what that verse brings out. Our desire should be that kindness should be setting inside of our heart. And you'll find that this is just a small group of scriptures that deal with the word kindness. It's all through the Bible. But who had Romans 2, verse number 4?
Glenda, go ahead.
Our deepest vow, the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance.
I want to get to that one. We're going to close with this one. Romans 2:4. Listen to this verse. Or deepest thou the riches of his goodness. Riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That verse is telling us that when we let the spirit of kindness lead us, listen to what God is towards us. He has forbearance towards us. He's long-suffering, tolerance. You know God puts up with us? But then when we have to put up with somebody, we might not have much long-suffering toward them because it doesn't feel good. Not knowing that the goodness of God, the kindness of God, leads us to repentance. This tells you how to win somebody to the Lord. Can I tell you the wrong way to win somebody to the Lord? Take your biggest Bible out, carry it with you down the street, and basically pull out the scriptures and beat people over the heads with them and say, "Now get saved." You're not going to get nobody saved. But if you'll open that Bible that you carry, start a conversation with them and tell them about the kindness and mercy and the grace of God, They might not give their heart to the Lord right then, but you know what you're doing? You're wrapping some gold on the inside of them that's just going to wrap them up, and eventually they're going to get to the place where that word of God gets them, and they go ahead and give their heart to the Lord. So that verse teaches us out of God's own word that you win more through kindness. Somebody knows the cliche I'm looking for.
Catch more flies with honey than vinegar.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to catch flies, but that's what it's talking about. Kindness.
Proverbs that talks about kindness or something, a harsh word turns up wrath or kindness turns up something.
Yeah.
I have it in my prayer book.
Yeah, it's in, there's several of them in Proverbs that talk about kindness and kind-heartedness. Well, we are at the end tonight. Come back. There's going to be some more things of kindness given to you in this series. I won't tell you what the next item will be, but I don't know what you say about a pastor that continuously forgets to take offering. But we need to do that. So we'll close with our offering. If you have tithes, offerings, you love the Lord and you want to give into His kingdom, I know that He'll bless you. Let's go ahead and give at this time, and then we'll dismiss with a prayer blessing. On your way out tonight, just be sure and smile real big at somebody. Show them some kindness tonight. Pray about the spirit of kindness before we come back together Sunday. I believe it'll change us, and we'll just grow and grow and grow in the grace of God. Can we stand together while we dismiss? We're going to pray over the offering, but would you do this privately with your Lord? Let's ask Him to forgive us of our unkindness, and let's make room for kindness in our spirit. And as we pray tonight, Father, we do thank You that You are so full of Your love and kindness towards us. Judas was an example of Your kindness. Lord, long before he ever gave himself over to money to sell You out, he had often put his hand in the money bags, but Your kindness showed forth on him, and You continued to let him stay in that position. And You were long-suffering toward him. You showed Your mercy upon him. Tonight, Lord, if we're honest, one of the things that has flawed us in our life is the times that we've been in public and in private unkind to us, ourselves, and unkind to those around us. As we get into this series, Lord Jesus, I pray that we would see what kindness can do. The world is not going to give it to us, but they sure need it. May we be a church that's kind, even to the person that would drive by and perhaps curse in the direction of the church. Let us still be kind. If we ever see the day when someone comes in unruly in the church, we may have to restrict the individual, but Lord, on their way being in this church, may they know that kindness is there for them. Some of our young people, when they do return, and they might be unrestless and unsettled, there might be some distractions. Help us to be kind with our spouses, with our children, with each other. Lord, I'm thankful for the giving and the receiving tonight. I know You're faithful. I know that You provide and You meet our needs according to Your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. This year is an exciting year, but Lord, I also know there's going to be many opportunities to not be kind in this year. There's going to be some things that happen that just set us back and make us wonder, what is this world coming to? but help us to be kind as you've been kind. You were kind enough to go to the cross. You were kind enough to look out and say those very precious words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was a kind word towards us. That gave us life because it gave us hope that we could be forgiven. And so can the next unruly and ungodly person, if we'll show them kindness in the spirit of your love, they can be the next one to give their heart to Jesus and be accepted in the kingdom of God. The Bible told me, Lord, in one of our texts, that you're kind to the unthankful and you're kind to the evil. I thank you for being that way. Help me as a pastor to be more kind. I'm hurried all the time. I'm rushing all the time. And Lord, I know I'm guilty of being unkind at times by not giving my ear, and not giving my attention. I'm asking for your help. I ask your help for each and every one of us tonight to just be kind. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.